You're with four detectives moving in on the home of a suspect wanted for armed robbery. Two to the rear. We'll go to the front. Oddly enough, both of those officers had their partners killed on deals like this. The suspect is listed as about 16, 18 years. But the victim was hurt in that last holdup. That's not kid's play. We're not taking any chances. Shades up. Recognize the suspect from a mugshot. Sitting in a chair with his back to the door.
It's open, Kurt. It's taken. Police officer, stay up. Right where you are.
What the?
Never mind. Put your hands up. Want to shake him, Kurt?
This is Don Reed, a police recorder.
Put your hands up.
You're on an armed robbery investigation with Detective Unit 5-6 on the night watch. Crew, Sergeant Ron Perkins. Partner, Sergeant Kurt Walter. Robbery detail. I'll record this as it happens. But where we go from here, your guess is as good as mine. But remember, the people you meet are not actors. This is it. This is real. This is Night Watch.
Aren't you curious why we're picking you up?
No.
Want to get a coat for him, Walter? He may not be back for a while. All right, let's go.
Night Watch. The actual on-the-scene report of your police force in action. Every voice, every sound is authentic. Wherever Detective Unit 5-6 is called, you follow as the official police recorder transcribes the investigation. Night Watch, presented with the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California, W.N. Hildebrand, Chief. We transfer you now to Detective Unit 5-6, operating somewhere in the field, and to police recorder Don Reed.
Well, at the moment we're bouncing down an alley, we're going to flip around the block because we just spotted two juveniles coming out from behind a building on the boulevard. Both of them with their arms loaded down with something or other. Actually, we're en route to the station with a robbery suspect in custody in the back seat, but we couldn't pass up this situation that sort of aroused our suspicions. Now we're going around the corner. Or the hard way. Now we're okay. And, there's our two young suspects. Young fellows there, stepping out of the shadows, both with their arms full.
Police officers. Guard, you want to check them out? I'll have a look around the back of the building.
Sergeant Walter staying in the current, guarding our robbery suspect. Well, let's have a look at these two young fellows. Wide-eyed, just staring. Officers checking packages.
Careful. Trying to do our first good deed and we get hauled in and caught.
First good deed?
Well, we're trying to build up our name of our club. That's all we're trying to do.
What were you collecting all of it for?
You know, needy families. We got to build up our name and sitting around in our club meeting tonight, we couldn't figure nothing out, you know, so we decided we were going to start helping somebody out.
How long did it take you to collect that?
About an hour and a half, 2 hours. About, I don't know, about 3 hours because we didn't start till about 9 o'clock.
How did you collect it?
Well, up to knock on the door. Well, everybody had a porch light on or light on.
Mm-hmm. How are you going to determine what families are needy enough?
School. No, hand them in to them in the morning. You know, if we can't take them, we'll do a little money.
What class are you boys in? All in the same class over there?
Polytechnic.
Did you find the people cooperative for the most part?
Yeah, we found a few people. We kind of felt like giving a little speech, but then we decided we better not. We're doing all this for, you know.
What sort of a speech? How'd you approach him? What'd you say?
Good evening, ma'am. Wait a minute. You give your speech first.
We're collecting food for needy families, for packages for school. We wonder if you had any cans.
Yeah, if you can, go make it look, you know, business-like and everything.
And then you'd say something after that, is that right?
No, he'd go him, and then I'd go him. See, and then I'd make my speech, and then he'd carry the food. And then whoever's carrying don't have to do a little talking.
You would make the speech, and he would carry all the food.
Yeah, or I carry it, and he made the speech.
That way, too?
Sounds like a good deal for him.
The guy who can talk, the one who gets out of all the work, huh?
We got donuts, we got everything. We got candy, they
did. What teacher went up to you this Saturday morning? They knew they were from school, they said, here, a couple of beavers, you better have something to get home on.
George, they check out okay. Building's all right.
Okay, boys.
Hey, fellas.
Nice going.
We decided we better we're going to take a trip, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get very far.
Well, that takes care of that. Next stop is police headquarters with our young burglary suspect. You're in the detective bureau. Sitting in the chair, a robbery suspect we picked up a short while ago. Briefly, this is the layout. Last night, three young men held up a liquor store, slugged the owner over the head with a bottle of whiskey, escaped. A partial license number of the getaway car, a couple of good witnesses, and a lot of legwork, and we came up with a mugshot of one of the suspects.
Just after you left.
He was identified. That's him sitting in front of us.
Completely knocked out.
Sergeants Walter Perkins questioning.
Ran to the door and saw you drive away.
Suspects unconcerned. Slouched in the chair.
Several suspicious cars.
Cigarette.
Out in front of the place.
Blowing smoke rings.
To him at the time.
I don't know anything about that.
Well, you can stick to that story if you like. But can't you just see the expression on a judge or a jury's face when two people, one witness and the other one the victim in this deal, the fellow was hit over the head with a whiskey bottle? Can't you see those two people getting up on a witness stand and saying, "That's the boy that was in my store. That's the boy that stuck me up." What would, if you were the judge or the jury, what would you say in a case like that?
I don't know.
So I know what they tell you when you get in these local jails, in the county jail, and maybe even in the forestry camps. They tell you the police don't know anything. Don't tell them nothing. Because until you start talking, they're helpless.
No, I know they ain't.
You'd be surprised how many people in San Quentin that still keep telling them about that. They're still in San Quentin.
Yeah, I know that they're a lot smarter than I am. Because I got caught for that. For everything I did.
So how about this deal? Let's get it squared away. Get it over.
I don't know nothing about this.
We make it a practice to watch fellows when we arrest them. And we consider that in court as admissions or confessions. Just the very first statement they make whenever we tell them that they're under arrest. I know you remembered today when we told you that we want to bring you to Culver City for questioning. An innocent man would have said, "Where do you want to take me?" We explained Culver City. Culver City, I've never even been there. What do you want to take me to Culver City for? I said, "For questioning." You said, "For questioning about what?" And you'd have just insisted on knowing what we were bringing you to Culver City for if you were completely innocent. But you didn't say anything. You didn't say a word.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to tell you I did something if I didn't do it, and then maybe I'll get off a little easier.
Oh, no, we wouldn't want that. We have never, and I don't think any good police officer would do that. I don't think they'd try to talk a person into admitting something and giving the big pitch about it going to get off easier. Because in the first place, we're not authorized to do that. I can't guarantee you anything about what will happen to you when you get in court. All I can say is that if you make a full statement in regard to the matter, that's just the way I'll put it down in the report. We could probably talk to you all night. We could probably beat you with a rubber hose if that was the method police use. We could probably throw you in a dark room. We could probably set you in a slanted chair. We could turn bright lights in your face. And we could keep grilling you and grilling you. But we have no intention of doing that. We're gonna try to get you to see the light yourself. And if you can't see it, then we'll just take it to court and just let justice take its course.
I don't know anything about that. Just what I told you, it's what I'm going to keep telling you.
You're going to stick to that story?
Yeah.
Okay, Kel. It's your story, and you're stuck with it.
Okay, Kurt. Looks like we'll have to do this the hard way. Go out and bring in some witnesses and see if he still tells us the same story.
Okay. You'll be back in a second. And we'll do it the hard way. Oh, you're right up. I brought the lock out and put it in the box.
You're sitting in Detective Unit 5-6. Sergeants Perkins, Walter, picking up one of the witnesses of the robbery. Attempt to make another identification of the suspect.
You want to wait in here? This is Don Reed, our police recorder.
Hi.
I'll be back in a few minutes.
What happened on this deal last night?
Well, I walked in the liquor store about 4 minutes to two. And went back to the icebox and got myself some beer, and there was another customer in the store at the time. And I walked up there. I was waiting for the fellow to wait on me. But he was having trouble with the cash register, waiting on another customer. He was punching keys all over the place. And he said, well, the boss is out. He went out in delivery, and I'm his new delivery boy. He showed me how to operate the cash register, but I don't know how. The other fellow and I both wanted to get our beer and get out of there before 2 o'clock. And so he says, do you know how to operate the cash register? Well, I'd worked for this other liquor store, and so I knew how to operate it. So I said, surely, I'll clear it for you. So I went back there and cleared the cash register for him. And he had some keys stuck.
In the meantime, he's picking up the store.
Yeah, and I didn't know it. He got my head blown off. So I showed him how to clear the cash register, and he made an overring on it, which the detective will tell you was 211.
211?
Yeah.
Which is penal code for armed robbery.
Yeah, I cleared it, and I showed him how to make out the overring. I just explained to him how you made the overring. He said, all right. And so I just took my beer and went out.
And you didn't know the place was getting stuck up?
No, heck no, I didn't.
You live dangerously.
I do.
You can say that again. I'm lucky I didn't get shot, actually.
No kidding.
We'd like for you to pick out the suspect that you saw at the bar. And if you're positive that he is the man, just say in a loud voice, that's the man that waited on me in the liquor store. That's the man that was behind the cash register, got the keys stuck, and I went around and helped him. And don't say anything else. Now, if you're not positive, it's the man. Then don't say anything, and just walk. Just walk away.
Well, let's get back to the station, see what happens. First floor cell block, arranging a lineup, taking a group of prisoners out to the show-up room, line them up in a row, mix the suspect in with them, see if the witness can pick him out.
I just want to be a member of the show-up.
Three prisoners out now. Here's the fourth.
You don't have to get me. I'm going to bring you right back.
Suspect being brought in. Four casual prisoners from the juvenile section. Two in shirt sleeves. Two with coats on. Our suspect, the only one with a jacket. Placing him on the right.
Walk right over alongside him.
He's coming in. Standing behind plate glass window. He can see the lineup, but they can't see him.
I'm going to see men there and see if you can recognize any of them.
Witness, pointing to the one on the right.
Would you like for me to ask him anything? Do you want him to make any statements? Turn around or anything like that? How about making the statement that the boss is out, I'm the delivery boy, I'm taking over for a little while. Make that statement. Make a statement. He showed me how to operate this cash register, but I got it stuck.
He showed me how to operate this cash register.
Put your hand straight down to the side and make a left turn. Turn around to your left, slowly, all the way around. All the way around. Okay, around again. Okay.
Well, sir.
One over there. The one on the right. One in the jacket. Okay. Okay, you can back yourself
here. Bill, you want to put these other prisoners back? We want to talk this boy again.
Escorting the young suspect into a small interrogation room.
Harlan. There's a second witness to identify you. You want to tell us about it now?
Suspect still continues to shake his head. Smile.
That gun you took, too, was hotter than a firecracker. If you didn't throw that gun away, eventually you'd get picked up with that. Do you know if your buddy's got the gun?
I don't know.
Well, you know if you have it.
I don't have any gun. Never did.
But who had this gun in the robbery?
You guys ain't gonna bluff me into telling that by little things like that. Where's it going?
We're not trying to bluff you into telling. We already told you what we got. We don't want to bluff you. We don't want to bluff you into nothing.
Well, if you got it, I mean, just put me back in my cell. But I'm not telling you anything. I don't know nothing about it.
All right, Kurt. Let's abide by his request. Want to put him back, Bob?
Young fellow, glancing back. Same smile.
We got plenty of time, fellas. This is what we get paid for. We'll be back.
You are listening to Night Watch and following the activities of Detective Unit 5-6 on its tour of duty. Remember, the people and sounds you are hearing are real, and the investigations are recorded in the field as they actually occur. America profits when you buy United States savings bonds. You profit, too. Your government has working capital, and you have capital working for you, earning interest every day. Buy United States savings bonds regularly for your own security and America's. And now, back to Night Watch, as we return you to headquarters where an investigation is underway, and your official police recorder, Don Reed.
Here's my gun, Jim.
Here's the other one. Going into the cell block. Leaving all the weapons behind.
Right now, I'm going to be a little bit nervous.
We're in the juvenile section of the jail. It took us better than an hour to locate our next witness. We found him in a neighborhood theater. This gentleman got a good look at the three suspects that robbed the liquor store. In fact, the suspect carrying the box of money and the gun ran right into him. Now, it's our belief that this is the same suspect that we're holding here in the cell. Sergeant Perkins instructing the witness. Breathing hard. Elderly. Very nervous.
This is what I want you to do. There are five cells in here, each one holding a prisoner. I want you to just walk past the cells normally and look into each cell. And as you see the person, if you can recognize him, why, just don't say anything to him. Just turn around and walk right back. That's all you have to do. Just take it easy, okay?
Okay.
Suspect is located in number three cell. Witness walking slowly. Checking the first one. Taking a good look. No soap. Moving on to number two cell. Staring through the bars. Glancing back. Shaking his head. Moving on to number three. Witness stop. Straightening up. Turning on his heel. Trace of excitement on his face. Eyes darting from officer to officer.
Well?
I'd say, that's the boy. I'm positive.
Okay, well, thank you very much. We appreciate your cooperation. I'll have a radio car take you home. Bob, will you show him out, please? Kurt? Let's see if our boy still has the same opinion.
Young suspect still on bunk. Extreme end of cell.
Well, you probably recognize that gentleman. He certainly recognized you. That's three now that place you right smack at the scene.
All right. I'll tell you the whole deal.
That's more like it.
Jim, will you let us in free? Okay, let's go on upstairs and talk about it. Come on.
son, how old are you?
I'm 16.
16. You know that we have identified you and made you on this robbery at this liquor store. Now, will you tell me in your own words exactly how it happened?
Well, I don't exactly know exactly what right time it was when we left England. And said that the place picked out perfectly for, you know. So we drove around, looking at all of them. And he saw this one, Culver City here. It was about just before closing time, I don't know what time.
About
1:30 around there. And kept the car running, and we walked in. And the guy looked at us so funny, and I got so scared, and I kept nudging to go outside, you know, come on, let's leave, I don't like it, you know. And he sort of nudged back to go in the room, so I pulled the gun out, told him to go in the back room. He went in the back room, and I went out and got the money on the cash register. And he went in the back room, and then I heard a crash, and I didn't know what it was, and I just took off with the money out the front door, and I had laid the little gun under the counter when a customer came in. When I heard the crash, I forgot to get it, and just ran outside, and they came out, and all I got a, I don't know what caliber it was an automatic pistol. It was in, under the counter. They told me to get it if I saw a gun.
And you got this gun, and when you took the money out of the cash register, son, do you know approximately how much money it was? Was it all in currency, or was it in silver and currency?
Well, silver and currency.
I see.
Put it in a cigar box, but I could hold all the silver money, that much in my hand. I wouldn't say there would be $75 worth.
Of silver or...
Or all together.
All together.
And all the money.
When you heard this crash in the back room where your two partners were, did they tell you that they had hit the man over the head with something?
When we got out in the car, yes.
What did he say?
I can't remember the exact words.
Well, approximately.
Well, approximately, I just said, what was all that commotion? He said, well, just knocked him out or something like that.
Did he say it hit him with a whiskey bottle or something?
No, but when he said he knocked him out, I heard the crash. I just about knew what it was then.
I see. This gun now that you used, what caliber gun was that?
The one I had?
Yes.
It was a .22.
Whose gun was that?
That was my dad's.
Was the gun loaded?
At the time of the robbery?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
When you pointed the gun at the man, what did you say to him in the liquor store?
I says, this is thick up, get in the back room.
What did he say?
He didn't say nothing. I guess said, all right, and he walked in the back room.
Walked in the back room.
Mm.
And then what did you do after he walked in the back room? Did you stay in the back room with him?
No, I told him to lay down on the floor, just like you guys had told me to tell him what to do.
Yeah.
And I went over to cash register, and I couldn't get it open. I didn't. He had to hit so many buttons in a certain one, you know. I didn't know how to get it open. So two customers walked in then, and I overrang a certain amount, and then he came behind the counter and wrote down something on a piece of paper about overrang a dollar something like that, and he opened and showed me how to open it again.
The customer did that?
Yes.
And then did the customer leave?
Yes. And
he walked out?
I just sort of waved to him, and he drove off.
Mm-hmm. And then you ran out of the store?
Yes, I had the money and the gun in the box. And
did they ever tell you anything about other robberies that they had committed?
No, they didn't tell me anything like that. They never talked much about that, but I imagine they did, because they knew how to do it.
Did you ever use any form of narcotics?
Well, try it. But it gave me headaches, cough, and choke, and I didn't like it a lot.
Comes pretty high.
Hmm?
Dope comes pretty high.
For 2 grams, $40.
When do you use it, eh?
Maybe 3.
You're 16 years old, and you still got a long time in front of you.
I'm just glad I wasn't 18, that's all.
Yeah, at 18, you'd be on your way to San Quentin.
Just one last question. Did you pull these stick-ups to get money to buy narcotics?
Yeah.
Okay, here you go.
What you have just heard is real, recorded as it actually happened on The Night Watch. We switch you now back to headquarters and the desk of Police Chief W.N. Hildebrand.
Tonight, you have followed one phase of a robbery investigation. As you may have noted, reference to the two other suspects and their descriptions were carefully censored from the broadcast. The reason was they were still at large at the time. The older of the trio was located in jail where he was being held on a narcotic charge. With the information supplied by the young suspect we heard tonight, the last of his accomplices was taken into custody. With the final arrest, 24 armed robberies were cleared throughout Southern California. For a moment, let's determine how the detectives were able to break this case. A witness obtained a partial license number, another gave an accurate description, still another remembered a tattoo mark. Without the assistance of the citizens involved, this young trio of bandits would possibly be committing still another robbery tonight, maybe even more victims injured. This is what your local law enforcement agency means when they say no department can be effective without the cooperation of the citizens. If tonight we have emphasized this point sufficiently, then we have a reason for night watch.
Thank you, Chief Hildebrand. You have been following Detective Unit 5-6 on its tour of duty on the Night Watch. Every voice, every sound has been real. Night Watch is brought to you through the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California, with technical advice by Sergeant Ron Perkins, and is described in the field by the official police recorder, Don Reed. Night Watch is produced by Sterling Tracy and Jim Hadlock.